right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome to Legal Talk with Jeff Nierenberg here on WWDB Talk 860. We've got a fantastic show. This is a Sparking the Dream special. Just going to be a lot of great conversation with some incredible guests. Jeff, how are you, sir?
Doing well, Joe. Thanks for having me, and thank you for everyone for joining us today.
Definitely, you know, we got some top professionals, every one of them, tops of their field, and all but one who's my great friend and attorney. First time I've ever had one of my attorneys on, Drew Malik. So don't embarrass me, Jeff. I swear, I don't know secrets about me on this broadcast. First time I ever had Drew on. So guys, here's what I'd like. I'd like everybody to introduce themselves. I'll call your names out. First, our host, Jeff Nierenberg. Remind our listeners, Jeff, even though they hear it monthly, a little bit about yourself and the firm.
So my name's Jeff Nierenberg, and I have a plaintiff's personal injury firm in Center City at the Duane Morris Plaza. I've been a lawyer for almost 30 years. I've been in private practice for about 23 years, specializing in car accidents, slip and fall, and work accident. I have great staff here, and I've been doing all types of accident claims and sometimes a little bit of homeowners claims with people around the tri-state area and through most of Pennsylvania and a little bit into New Jersey. And just really happy to be here, and I'm glad that you've included me in the Sparking the Dream initiative. And thank you to my friends that also joined me.
Absolutely. And I will go to Mike Dolan, if you will. Mike, if you introduce yourself and tell our listeners a little bit about the firm and about yourself.
Sure. My name is Mike Dolan. I'm with Stockton Real Estate Advisors. We're a full-service real estate company here in Philadelphia. We've been in business for 17 years. We specialize in advising, doing landlord advisory, tenant advisory, and investment sales. Clients typically hire us to help them solve complex real estate matters. And thank you for including me on this call.
My pleasure, Mike. And I'll go to Drew Malik, if you will. Drew, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. We're going to go to Drew and then Aaron. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and, of course, the firm.
Well, good. Thank you very much, Joe. Good afternoon, everyone. Joe, it's great to see you. I'm Drew Malik, as Joe mentioned, and I'm a partner at the law firm of O'Hagan & Meyer in Philadelphia. Our office is located at 3 Logan, which is right on 17th and Arch right there. O'Hagan & Meyer's law firm, we're actually headquartered out in Chicago, but we have offices coast to coast from L.A., San Francisco, all the way over here to Philadelphia, up and down the East Coast from Boston to Charlotte. And I am a litigation attorney. I've been practicing since about 2008, so almost 15 years now. And I specialize in defending lawsuits, liquor liability cases, product liability cases, premise liability cases, various construction accidents. I'll defend architects, engineers. I'll even handle cases that are involving transportation and trucking, and believe it or not, sometimes trademark and copyright infringement cases as well. So I'm hired to defend, in large part, to defend people that are sued, and litigation is my specialty. So thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to the show.
Absolutely. And of course, Aaron, we say the best looking for last. How do you like that?
I like it.
This is a radio call, but clearly by Zoom, I agree with your assessment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you will, Aaron, remind our listeners a little bit about yourself and obviously the firm.
Sure. Thanks. Yeah. My name is Aaron Allmiller. I graduated in 99 from Rutgers Law and then clerked for a couple judges. And from that point forward, I kind of hung out my own shingle. Since about 2006, I've been increasingly focused and now exclusively focused on federal workers' compensation, which means I represent federal employees against the government seeking benefits when they're hurt at work. Very specialized area. I get a lot of my work from other attorneys like Jeff. My firm is Allmiller Lomax. We're located in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, but we do represent people nationally. I have clients as far away as Guam, Alaska, Florida, and up and down the Eastern Seaboard. So It's nice that we have a real nice collection of very different attorneys here. It's pretty interesting.
Absolutely. And what we're going to do is delve into, in the first segment, the way we will kind of lay out this broadcast is the first segment's going to be about, you know, each one of your careers and your practices. Okay. We're going to delve a little farther into that. Then we're going to get into an inspirational segment, about those who impacted each of you, successful individuals in your fields. And then we'll get into the Spark in the Dream segment, where we cover a lot of, what the Spark in the Dream program is. So having said that, what I'd like to do is bring Mike Dolan back in. Mike, you've been a licensed real estate agent for almost 30 years, working downtown, representing landlords and tenants. Okay. A lot of them, by the way, law firms. We just got through a pandemic, and you guys being very innovative, were able to not only, keep the shingle on the door, but thrive. Talk about some of the qualities that make you guys successful as a real estate advisory agency.
Sure. Thank you. So I think one of the things that really sets us apart is we're really relationship driven. And I know a lot of firms say that, but we really take a lot of pride in that. And Joe, when we were talking, you had mentioned Sunny Banks early on, and Jeff referred me to Sunny Banks. I represented Sunny Banks over the last 15 years with his real estate. One thing that we really value is the relationships that goes beyond the business aspect of it. But we all have the pedigree in our office. There's 15 of us. We all have that entrepreneurial pedigree where we think outside the box. And we've been doing this a long time and working with a lot of different companies, both nonprofits and for-profit. So it's given us a level of expertise that a lot of other firms don't have. And what's also interesting is we get to pick and choose our clients because we're a small firm. So not everyone's the right client for us. So that's been beneficial to our clients, because when we bring a new client on board, of course, they're going to get 100% of our attention. So, we've been successful the last 24 months and just really doing a lot of handholding with our clients and advising them on where we see the market going, wanting them to be patient in certain situations. We did buyouts and terminations for our clients to exit certain markets because they weren't going to bring people back to the office. So, I would say over the last, 24 months, it's been a lot of us educating our clients on where we see the market headed in the next 12 to 24 months.
It's interesting because, and Jeff, I'll bring you one to comment, because obviously Mike is, you work with Mike, but before I do.
Mike and I have been together a long time, and I started in the law on my own in 99, and Mike was there from the very, very beginning, taking me through my first lease at 2 Penn Center at 15th and JFK, and became just an invaluable resource and tool. And we just became good friends after that. And he's moved me many, many times, finally here to the Duane Morris Plaza. And just Michael goes above and beyond. And I really marvel at how we as lawyers, and Drew can talk about this a lot, and Aaron, we deal with clients and there's a million problems and issues. But I've come to learn that Mike Dolan deals with even more problems and issues and is with people for years for renewals and large, large properties that he both rents out, both landlord and tenant side. And it's amazing what he does. And I'm just glad to call him a friend. And he always puts me in great space and I'm in great hands. And I try to refer him to everybody.
And Mike, one of the things that is really interesting, that I find really interesting, and we had you on a recent broadcast, is how much experience yourself and your partners have, but not just in the real estate space, but understanding the businesses of your clients and their needs. Talk about that and the importance of that, when you're, representing somebody to put them in a space, or even if you represent the owner of a property, knowing what types of clients to bring in so you can set up both parties for success.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Joe. One of the things, as I said earlier, is relationship. And as you get to learn the businesses that you're working with, you get to find out the nuances of really that business leader and how they run their business. And I had brought up a comment about one of the firms that I was working with in the past, that you know, the gentleman's a little bit older, you know, we have to look at his exit strategy, understand, does he want to be in business for, you know, 10 years or 5 years? So we really put together a strategy and found an opportunity for him where he wouldn't have to come out of pocket for any of the capital outlay to move or build the space out. But also we got the flexibility of a shorter term lease. And we also, I mean, with our clients is, you know, everybody talks about the lease itself and the economics as being, you know, yes, that's critical, it's important, but the lease flexibility is even more important, you know, contraction rights, termination rights, expansion rights, all of those things that we go to battle with to make sure that our companies get it from the land, from the tenant advisory standpoint. The landlords that I represent, you know, it's, they're institutional but entrepreneurial owners, and they are very keen on making sure they have the right tenant mix within the building. So we're really keen on making sure we bring the right clients to the table to do business with so that we don't bring a bad apple into the apple cart that disrupts the rest of the building. And we've been super successful, and that's why our clients keep coming back. As I told you on the, you know, we did represent a PREIT, which is Pennsylvania Real Estate Investment Trust. We just represented Habitat for Humanity for 30,000 feet. Do a lot of corporate clients that, like, we're not out pounding our chest showing you, but if I showed you my corporate list, you'd be like, oh my gosh, Mike, you work with all these companies. So we're, you know, we're really proud of what we do for our clients.
And talk about the communication, the importance of communication, not, you know, both in your, you know, during the process, but even throughout the length of the lease with your clients.
Yeah. So one of the things that I personally do, and my partners do here, is, you know, every year we're reaching out to our clients, looking at their operating expense escalations, looking at the pass-throughs that have been passed through that are profit centers for landlords. And we do a diagnostic test for them quickly to look at, okay, are they taking advantage of us? Are they passing through certain expenses they shouldn't be passed through? And this goes throughout the whole process. And when I say advisors, that's really how we view our clients. I'm not a broker. You know, a broker brings two people together and then they're gone. We, you know, my relationships have been longstanding, like with Jeff, like with Sonny Banks, with
I'm on a 7-year lease now. When issues come up, I call Mike during the 7-year time period, which is a long time period to have a relationship on a lease.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so Mike, so what I'd like to do is right now bring in Aaron Allmiller. Aaron, if you would, you're no stranger to the broadcast. And, you know, I'd like to say that you can count the number of individuals who do federal workers' comp on one hand. It's such a specialty. It's such a unique specialty. Talk about that. What makes it so unique? You know, how did you get into it?
It's a unique specialty because it's honestly hard to make a living doing it. If you do work and you don't earn a living, it's called a hobby. Okay. So there's very few attorneys that do this work because for precisely that reason. There are onerous rules specifically against attorneys, and they are honestly not, in my opinion, in the interest of the claimants. So because of that, a lot of attorneys avoid it. So the way I got into it was I had done a judicial clerkship with two judges in Camden County Superior Court, New Jersey. And I kind of hung up my own shingle initially. And so I was doing per diem. In fact, one of the attorneys I met many years ago was Jeff Nierenberg, so I started doing a little per diem for him. I mean, pretty early. I first met Jeff in, I don't know, like 2002 or so. So it's probably been about 20 years. And since then, Jeff has represented my family members and things of that sort. But so these attorneys, sometimes they wanted you to cover work. But other times they would say, here's a file, take it. Let's see what happens. You know, I don't want anything, or just if you make a little money, maybe there's a little participation fee or whatever. And so through that, I really tried about 50 or 60 areas of the law. And when the New Jersey worker compensation attorneys, I started doing some per diem there. When that, they got a hold of me, and next thing you know, they started referring a couple cases, federal comp, to me before I had even had a resolution. Throughout the courthouse, all of a sudden I had federal comp cases coming in. And the next thing you know, we're getting referrals from Sonny's old law firm, you know, Martin Banks, Ponwahaki, Wilson. all those years ago. And then, you know, relationships, they just keep growing. And eventually that sort of stuff, when I found a way to sort of, you know, a business model that kind of made it work, it ended up sort of crowding out other stuff. And I think we're in the era of specialty. You're here talking with, you know, with multiple different specialists. And I think that that's sort of the secret sauce. I think the day of the general practitioner is in a metropolitan area is sort of gone, and you're better off doing one or two things really, really well. Even Drew, he's a litigation expert. He litigates different stuff, but I don't litigate. That's not what I do. I do one area of the law, but it's a specialized subject matter. And, you know, I think you're better off staying in your lane and replicating and having costs of scale minimized that way.
Joe, it's a pretty amazing thing with Aaron. He kind of created an industry where one didn't exist 20 years ago. There's only one, two, maybe three people doing it, but Aaron now does it the best, and really pretty much all the lawyers gravitate to him, and it's amazing to watch him create sort of a subspecialty that didn't exist when I started in the law. Aaron was the first person I had ever met that did a postal worker's injury, and he does it really well, and he pays referral fees, and he somehow manages a high complex, you know, high volume practice, and it's pretty neat to watch it grow from inception to what it is today.
Yeah, and the amazing thing is, we have a lot of our federal unions use, Aaron there. You know, obviously we talk about the postal workers, and, we have a number of individuals, and it's a much, we have an injured workers program in labor. And, you know, I got a couple of calls years and years ago about federal comp, and thank God for Aaron, because, you know, a lot of regular comp guys, and I didn't know the difference back then, have no idea. So, by the way, just so everybody knows, when I was drinking something, I don't want anybody to figure it was a Diet Coke, just to make sure.
I figured that's what you were trying to tell us, that it was just a Diet Coke.
Right. Thank you, Drew. Thank you, buddy. Very observant, because I'm thinking they probably think I'm drinking a Budweiser.
That was yesterday during the Eagles game. That was yesterday.
Yeah. Or maybe something stronger after a while. Mother of God. Having said that, let's bring in Drew Malik.
Drew, Joe.
Great to have you. Longtime attorney and represented myself and my business, our liquor establishment for 14 years. Remind our listeners, let's kind of talk about yourself and the firm. Talk about who your clients are, number one, but number two, what they can expect from you and the firm in regards to your services, your efficiency. By the way, I could jump in on that for about an hour, but if you would.
Well, thank you, Joe. And again, it's great to be here. Jeff, thanks for inviting me on. As Aaron pointed out, I am a litigation specialist. So I do practice in the civil arena. In other words, if a business or an individual is sued, I get hired to represent and defend them from personal injury lawsuits, which is one of the things I like about the case or about the job, because it gives me an opportunity to meet people and business owners and operators in all different industries, different types of workplaces. And it gives me an opportunity to build enjoyable relationships, Joe. For example, you and I, you know, we've known each other for how long now? And if I see you on the street, it's always great to bump into you, or for example, doing this.
Well, hold on. Is that why you walked to the other side? I'm just asking.
No comment. No comment. So what I like, you know, that's one of the things that I like about being a litigator is just an opportunity to represent people. And I don't want to say in their darkest times, when someone is served with a lawsuit, it's not pleasant. They're scared. They think they're going to be out of pocket. Maybe they're going to lose their business, their home, whatever, you know. And then what I enjoy is being there to provide a little bit, let's call it comfort, so they can sleep a little bit better at night, knowing they're in good hands, knowing that we're going to take care of them, we're going to defend them, we're going to reduce their risk of exposure to the extent that we can. Another interesting thing about being a litigator too is in the personal injury arena, especially in a town like Philadelphia, you know, a place such as the Philadelphia Court of Common Pleas, is the exposure to and the opportunity to learn a lot about different fields, different industries, different sciences. And I think Jeff knows what I'm talking about. In other words, when I'm working with experts from in the metallurgy industry, you know, in the steel industry, right on down to doctors, orthopedic doctors, toxicologists, things of that nature, suddenly I'm a semi jack of all trades, if you would. You know, you get a lot of exposure to a lot of different things as a lawyer, as a litigator. And I enjoy that. I enjoy that.
I could jump in and I'll say this. It reminded me of, you know, we would, you know, and when we talk about your representation of our business, we worked incredibly hard at keeping our patrons safe and, you know, trying to do everything the right way. And you got that right. It was sometimes pretty scary when you get that, when you get served. And, you know, I will say that in our case, you know, that what I really appreciated about your service was, you know, it was very consistent. Whenever I had a question, I could call you up and find out where we were, what you needed. What I really liked was that when we were preparing, if we had to go through a deposition or if we had a, you know, if there was a hearing or a court, you know, we were going to court, that you prepared me really well. And that even while we were there in court, I felt comfortable because I had somebody next to me that I knew that would advise me properly. And, you know, after.
So I can speak to that. I want to say about Drew also, we met this year during 2022 and we had a very interesting case together.
We
became, I guess what we call fast friends, or we were like, I don't know what it was originally. What didn't start well, but it ended well. And I used to complain, Drew, to Joe about you. And I'm like, who's this Drew? We got to talk to Drew. Who is this guy? But by the end of it, I got to tell you, Drew was one of the most prepared and just on point attorneys. I've been doing this for 30 years. And I really admired his tenacity, his preparation. And he just really, really cared about his client. And by the end of it, I just respected the hell out of him and needed him to be here today because I thought he added a lot to what we're doing and the cause. And I just thought he'd be, you know, he'd round out this panel of wonderful, great people in the city.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. And same.
Thank you.
And Jeff, take about, you know, a couple minutes, if you will, just to go through for our listeners, just remind them what types of personal injury you do at Nirenberg Law Associates and what type of clients you represent and what you know, is personal injury.
So I represent anybody who's in an accident. So I'll handle lots of people in all types of car accidents, a slip and fall accident, people on SEPTA, people on bikes, people trying to cross the street as pedestrians. I've gotten a whole bunch of recent motorcycle accident cases. And in Pennsylvania, you don't have to wear a helmet in our city, in our state. And people come to me at their worst moments. I think Drew mentioned that he sees people at their lowest moment. I would agree with that we see them at their lowest moment and really act as not only a lawyer, but my wife happens to be a psychologist, as you know, Joe. And I feel like I'm part therapist and like mostly therapist and part lawyer. People just want to talk and we try to build them back up and get them to the right doctors and give them a little peace of mind, like Drew said, to sleep at night and just feel comfort that they're being handled and their lives are being put back together again. So my staff just handles people in accidents to all aspects of it. And you come to me from soup to nuts. And my wife tells me I'm a little too accessible, but you know, in a country where everything's gone big and we all get put on hold, you know, to try to get through to lawyers and doctors and the cable company and all these companies, I do make myself accessible. And I think that's what has made me successful, that I will go that extra mile and talk to people and help them even when it's after hours.
Absolutely. And so, guys, what I'd like to do right now is, you know, Sparking the Dream is an initiative with our nonprofit Advocacy United. It's about making a difference in the lives of young individuals from unresourced areas and under-resourced and underserved areas. And we're going to get into that part of it, but when we talk about it, but I'd like to kind of get into, you know, an inspirational part of this conversation. You know, there have been all kinds of individuals, whether it be a coach, a parent, a friend, an older sibling, a colleague, who have made a difference in our lives, okay? What I'd like to do is kind of go around the horn in the same order, and I'd like each one of you to kind of talk about individuals in your personal lives and in your professional lives that have made a difference in your life. And it doesn't have to be completely in your field, but that, you know, that is obviously encouraged, but also growing up, you know, throughout the years in your youth, when in your formative years, Mike Dolan, if you would.
All right. As I told you, I'm one of nine and grew up in Chester. My father worked at Scott Paper, and probably the most influential person under my father would have to be a guy by the name of Vince Tuohy. He was my algebra teacher in high school who pulled me out of class one day and told me I need to shape up and got me into running, which was the lifesaver for me. It allowed me to go to college, allowed me to meet all kinds of different people, run all over the world. But if it wasn't for him, who I still talk to this day, he's 67 right now. I still talk to him. He was probably the most influential person that I've met that's been able to guide me through my ups and downs, as well as some of my clients that I have, not to mention Jeff. So I've been very blessed to have had the opportunity to meet Vince and to get to know him and to help me really figure things out at an early age where I was really lost. You know, coming from Chester, there wasn't a lot of opportunity, and my father worked nonstop trying to raise nine children. So if it wasn't for him to say, hey, you know, you need to shape up, you need to study more, you need to write more, you need to go to class more, and oh, by the way, I want you to join the cross country team. That really changed the direction of my life personally.
And when you talk about the cross country team, you know, sports, I notice a lot of professionals and really just all of us and personally and professionally, but you know, sports often provide experiences and qualities that really impact your life, you know, professionally, personally, during difficult times, challenges. Talk about, first of all, you run right now, you know, in your running. Talk about that in regards to the type of races you run.
Well, now I do ultra races, like 50, 7,500 mile races. I've done quite a few of them over the last couple of years. I'm actually leaving January 5th to do a 360 mile bike race across Florida. Meet another guy.
Hey, so it's Joe, What'd you do last weekend, Joe? He did a 370-mile bike race.
Well, it's funny you mention that, Jeff, because I was going to ask Mike, what weekend is that, Mike?
It's February 5th. It's the 6th, yeah. But, to more importantly with your question is that, you know, sparked a dream. But when you guys have brought this up to me the other day, what I was most interested in is how can you help somebody? And a young kid, you know, I consider myself successful now. I have opportunities to help people. So how can we get out there, band together, and help individuals? And, you know, I was very fortunate to meet Vince in the hallway when I was thrown out of the class. He just so happened to be walking by. And, you know, without that interaction, I'm not so sure where I'd be today, you know, based on what the economic and social things we were dealing with in Chester at the time. So you guys had brought this up to me during the podcast the other day, I was super intrigued because we as individuals who are successful, whether we have kids or raising kids, you know, we need to take it upon ourselves to help lift other people. And if we can each start by getting one or two people to change their trajectory, you know, over time, you get 50, the groundswell will just build and continue to build. So I was super pumped to be on this call today because I'm glad that people like yourselves are actually thinking about this and now starting this process and trying to help young people who are underserved.
And it's interesting because I remember, you know, my family was going through something about 8 years ago. And I remember running into my high school football coach and saying to him, you know, coach, those 100-yard dashes, those gassers we did back in, you know, back in the days of our youth are sure coming in handy right now. And but I say that because the experiences that we were fortunate enough to have, the lessons that we were taught by people who cared about us, you know, they last in our lives on a daily basis. I also talk about my father being the head of the ironworkers union, and I got canned for my bartender's job. I was only 18 at what Captain Z's West End pub. And that night I was in apprentice school. Now that was against my entire will, but at the same time, I didn't realize that I had a connection that could get me a job and a career with living wages and enough to buy a house and, you know, eventually, you know, raise my family. But I might not have appreciated it because it was not my dream. But the fact is, having those connections and those relationships, Mike, I think you talked about how you actually, was it you that talked about how you got into real estate on the radio show? I'm trying to remember, but I'm not exact. How did you get into real estate?
So I got out of college. I was a food broker. I sold Ragu and Cole and Spring Water. Yeah. And the company that I was working for them for 16 months, I left them and went to work for an information company that does computer data center migrations. And I secured Provident National Bank, which is PNC now. And I did their whole computer migration from here to Pittsburgh. And the guy that I was working for, unfortunately, wasn't paying his FICA taxes or his Social Security tax to his employees. So the day before I'm getting married, when I invited all the guys that I worked with to my wedding, IRS showed up and was asked to leave.
We remember that story, Joe. We remember that story.
Yeah. That's right.
So, yeah, I went on my honeymoon, came back. I was married, and we had bought a house. And I didn't have a job, so I walked to the guy next door, the office right next door on the 10th floor, 1700 Market Street, John Gagan. I walked in. I said, John, I need a job. And that's how I got into real estate. And John also took a chance with me, and where he didn't, I didn't have didn't know anything about real estate, didn't know anything about sales of real estate, how to execute a sale of real estate, how to represent a tenant. And, John took a chance on me and where he didn't have to. And it's another example of someone reaching out and helping someone else that I benefited from. So, you know, that's how I got into real estate. And that's been 2020, I'm going to my 30th year now.
And that's a great story. By the way, did you tell your wife before you got married that there might be a problem?
So, no, I didn't. But I will tell you, my wife was so ticked off that there was like 8 empty seats and they were the ones from my office that didn't show up.
Oh.
So she was mad that we paid for our own wedding. We didn't know we had to pay for our wedding. So she was all ticked off. She didn't ultimately know, you know, I got back. I didn't have a job. I remember coming home to her. I'm like, yeah, I got good news and bad news. I said, good news, you might see me more often until I find another job. So.
Now, Mike, is that your first wife? Is that your first wife or your second wife? Just kidding. No,
I believe in two things. One wife and one house.
Yeah.
One wife and one house. That's my motto.
It's important. It's important.
Drew Mount, if you would, talk about who impacted your life, and when you think about, you know, how you got to where you are in your path. Any individuals that you can look back and say, you know, I maybe not didn't realize it then, but, you know, this is somebody who made a difference to where I am right now.
Yes, absolutely. Certainly. You know, I was very fortunate, right? My parents, my family members, like my uncles, and my cousins, for example, in particular, my parents really were phenomenal role models for me. Now, these are people, my father, he's a retired state trooper, my mother, a nurse. So they worked basically, I was an only child. They worked their whole adult lives to pave the way for me, to provide every opportunity for me, every twist and turn, you know, whether it be going to work every day or going to work at night, you know, and I always looked up to that as a kid and just thought, wow, these people work hard. And of course that translated over to my life as I had goals to set for myself. I would always hold myself to their standards. Same with my uncles, same with my cousins. And there, you know, to have someone like that, to have people like that in your life to pave the way for you and to set examples where you can aim high to achieve your own aspirations and goals is great. And of course, you know, when you told me about the sparking initiative, you know, which helps in service to underprivileged youth. Maybe some people that don't have what I had, which was these hardworking role models that helped me get to where I am at professionally and in my personal life. So I think, I think Mike touched on this, that service to others is important, you know, important to give back. So if this program can possibly fill that gap for someone else, give them something, role models like I had, I could see tremendous value in what you guys are doing, and I admire it.
I appreciate it. And you know, it's funny, we have one child, and you know, it's certainly when my wife and I, you know, our son, and certainly it's an interesting dynamic, and you know, you're surrounded by, you know, a lot of focus, I'm sure you were, and certainly having those role models, especially a state trooper and a nurse, it doesn't get any better than that. And the lessons you learn in integrity in all those things, it's certainly something that I'm sure stays with you on a daily basis. And so that's a great point. It's a great story. Aaron Allmiller, talk about some of your, you know, your role models, your experiences along the way.
Sure. I really believe in the proverb that it takes a village to raise a child. And there's no question that I'm a product of the village. So professionally, I owe so much to so many people. Well, as Jeff told you, mentioned that I'm, you know, specialized, and I don't happen on my own. Like I had to pick up pieces by well-meaning mentors along the way. And there's so many. Jeff, of course, that told me, I think you got a specialty. I think you got something here. To guys like Adam Greenberg, Adam Kotler, Morris Starkman, my uncle Steve Glickman, that had a public sector labor law firm. But I would say professionally, the guy that probably made the biggest difference in a piece of advice and an active mentor role was a guy named Charlie Nathanson, who he recruited me straight from working in the courthouse. And he said, you know, offered me my first per diem gig. And he made me realize that I think law is, you have this perception that's a very antagonistic profession. But as you can see on this radio show, and that I had to learn, is that it doesn't have to be. So one of the things I really liked about being a specialist was that he taught me that you could get work from other lawyers, that they didn't have to be your competitors. They could be your compatriots, because they all want the same thing. And a lot of, at the end of the day, they want to earn a living, of course, but they want to, you know, they want to see justice done on some level. And you're a part of that. So wanting to refer people business is a double. You're sending business to people you like, and you're also servicing the client. So I think Charlie taught me more than that. More than any single person. Sorry, Jeff. So I would say same thing personally. Like, my parents got divorced when I was in fourth grade, and I was an only child, and my mom had cancer and worked through that. And I ended up living with my maternal aunt, who my mom ended up passing away, and I'm very close to my cousins, who are like my brothers and sisters, and that's how I ended up in Cherry Hill. I originally grew up in Lafayette Hill. So it's a wonderful thing that my aunt is my kid's buddy. But the guidance that I would say, the most specific one thing, I played baseball and I wasn't very good, but I was small, fast, and had big cheeks. So I was nicknamed Squirrel. And I used to be able to get walks because I was small. And then I liked getting walks, and I went on base, and then I would steal bases. So it was great. But I remember I took four straight pitches where I didn't swing, and I got one ball and then three strikes, and I was out. And I remember my coach, Phil DeLeon, he said to me, he goes, "Squirrel, I'm giving you hell." And he literally said it like that, because I'm in third grade. I that's giving someone hell. We didn't perceive that was a metaphor. He literally said that. He's like, you don't stand up there in life waiting to get a walk. You go down swinging. And that was honestly probably the biggest single piece of advice I ever got in my life. I would never have been married if not for that. It was like, you got to go down swinging. You know, every swing you don't take is a strike potentially. You know, it's certainly you didn't hit the ball. And so, you know, I would say that was really meaningful for me. So I tried to give back a lot. Like, I didn't grow up playing soccer. Somehow I ended up the president of the Voorhees Soccer Association. I'm the general secretary of the girls league, you know, even though my daughter plays in a different league. You know, I coach multiple teams. You know, I jump in there, practice when I can, when I'm physically able and stuff like that. So there's a Hebrew term called Lador Vador, from generation to generation. I'll never be able to pay back my aunt, Phil DeLeon, and all these other people that have contributed. So the only thing I can do is try to pay it forward to the next generation. And, you know, hopefully they will do the same thing. And maybe I can make a little bit of a difference the way so many people did. Maybe I can make a little bit of a difference in somebody else.
I can't say that.
That's amazing.
It is.
What a story, Aaron. What a story.
Very good. Jeff, if you would jump in there.
Sure. I grew up, like Aaron, loving the game of baseball, playing the game of baseball as a left-handed pitcher. My dad was my coach for most of my life, and he was a really good ball player and coach. And we played he was my coach for many, many years. And for years, though, he was very big at giving back and having big brothers and little brothers and bringing kids that couldn't really afford along to batting practices and lunches and back to my house. And he really instilled in me, not only, of course, a love of baseball, but you know, that whole big brother, little brother thing, and trying to give kids that didn't have what we had a little opportunity to participate, come home. Lots of kids used to come to my house for barbecues and sleepovers and all kinds of stuff. And later on, I got involved in Hebrew school as a Jewish young boy. It's called JRA, that Aaron may know of. It's called the Jewish Relief Agency. And as a young man or as a young person, I used to box food up for the underprivileged in Northeast Philadelphia, deliver it to homes of indigent and poor Jewish people. And what stood out to me was the kids that lived far worse than I did. And it used to really sadden me and my sister and my family. And I've continued that with my kids. And it's a pretty amazing program that goes on today that feeds younger people. But I just remember as a kid feeling like, hey, doesn't everybody have what I have? And when you're out in the real world and you see that you're very fortunate and lucky. My dad was a lawyer. My mom was a travel agent. And obviously we had a little bit more than most, but you know, for me, sports was an entree to help kind of level the playing field. And to this day, I'm a coach like Aaron. I'm coaching Little League and baseball and basketball. And whenever I can get involved in kids sports and give back, I have a soft spot in my heart. I have three kids for children in general. And as a lawyer, I'll say to wrap it up, when I represent young people, I really feel bad when they don't have a strong family unit that looks after them. And I feel like I'm their father, I'm their mother, and I'm the only one who's caring about some of these kids. And, you know, when you came to me with Sparking the Dream, it resonated and hit a nerve with me, because so many kids, if given our chances, the people in this room, the chances that we've had, would do just as well or better than us. You just need that opportunity. So maybe in some small way, each of us can give back to a young person.
Well, listen, Jeff, I got to say, you know, this segment has been absolutely incredible. And you know, all of your stories, I've heard Mike talk about his kids, Aaron and Drew. Any kids?
Two boys. Yeah, I do. And their age is seven and four. And actually, I coach their teams as well. Baseball. Basketball, flag football. Wow. Growing up, my father was one of my coaches too for just about every event, which I love. So I feel as if there's no way I can't do that for my own boys. And turns out
how much it's so much fun. Isn't it the most fun? It's so much fun.
It is
so much fun to watch your kids.
It's tremendous.
And you know what? You guys are really incredible examples. I'm going to talk a little bit about Sparking the Dream right now, but when I talk to, you know, each one is you're incredible examples of individuals who, you know, had individuals make a difference in your lives and paying it forward every day, great parents. And so I want to close the broadcast on what Sparking the Dream is. Each one of you individuals are not only great professionals. And by the way, it's not just about, legal professionals. It's about, all professionals, and even union leaders are, you know, we're having a union, you know, part of sparking a dream for kids who may not go to college, but they may go to trade school. But this is, so when I say to Mike, you know, this is about what you do. It's about what the guys do. How lucky it is to be your kids. Okay. My father was my coach. It's so amazing, these stories. Coach my football. And remember one time I was able to have a pretty decent athletic career. And remember one time I was coaching at Roman Catholic. I coached football there for years. And I remember trying to talk to my son. And my son used to say to me, "Dad, do you think I got a chance to play?" And I remember, you know, thinking to myself, our head coach used to say, "I want to make our kids better men. That's my goal." At Roman Catholic High School, Jimmy Murphy used to say that. And when I was a young guy coaching, yeah, I wanted to win, all those things. When I became a parent and I was coaching in the 2000 to 2004, it was about making them kids, setting them up for success. And so I looked at all the individuals on the show and how lucky your kids are. So Sparking the Dream was created. We've done 700 shows, maybe 800 of all types, legal shows, relationship shows, Jeff Nierenberg, sports shows, the whole deal. And I was on my way to a broadcast one time 6 months ago. And I remember thinking to myself, man, I'm really lucky to have these relationships and do these broadcasts on air with so many great professionals. But wouldn't it be, aspiring kids who would benefit so much more to sit in a room with individuals like yourself, up close and personal. And so I made it, Sonny Banks and I, we had a long conversation. Talk radio was one of the great networking platforms ever. And so put together a structure where we bring in aspiring students from underserved and under-resourced areas, let them sit in on the broadcasts, let them participate and appear on the broadcast. They get to learn from the professionals. On those shows, we'll also talk about success, but also your path to success, okay? An individual who may, you know, have a dream but doesn't know it's possible, never met heroes like yourselves. Your heroes, look at what you do for your kids and the kids in the community every day that make difference in lives. They get to meet and greet and interact with the attorneys, ask questions, and the professionals. I mean, in the real estate industry, the stories, Mike, that you can tell about the high-rise buildings and the people that you put in there, okay? Things that some kids who are intellectually, stimulated and want to get, don't know they can, and have no idea that the dream is possible. These people will tour the law firms and the businesses, go to lunch with the professionals on the shows, and for the first time in their lives, they'll literally have a seat at the table. We're calling it all as part of an ultimate career day experience, okay? And then we're also working on internships after the experience. But listen, they're going to get their 15 minutes of fame too. They're going to be on the broadcast like you guys on now. They're going to tell. It's interesting because it's funny how things work. They're actually going to be promoting all the lawyers and the professionals on the broadcast because they're going to be telling everybody they're going to be appearing on air. They get that opportunity to have that 15 minutes of fame, but also have an experience to meet somebody like you people up close and personal. One of the issues that a lot of kids from underserved and under-resourced areas have is they don't have the connections. They don't have the relationships, okay? They aspire to do things. They aspire and they see on TV a lawyer, a doctor, a real estate executive. They hear about getting in the union, but they can't get in because they don't know anybody. They may not even understand the path of how to do it. We're going to provide that opportunity. One of the things I know is going to happen is we're going to meet some special kids, and I know there's going to be professionals in that are going to say, I'm not going to let. And by the way, when we bring them in the broadcast, we're talking about one or two at a time. We're not talking about 10 or 12. And the reason that is we want them to get a real conversation. You bring a group in, and any group can sit in front of a couple of attorneys, and it becomes sort of a large event. This is going to be intimate. They get the opportunity to really pick your brain. And on air, we're going to set it up to talk about what they do. When you talk about the challenges kids have on a daily basis, okay, obviously not getting the opportunity, but, you know, not getting the opportunity to meet up with close and personal, successful individuals like yourselves, okay? They don't have inspirations, minimal resources or occupational connections, no blueprint for success, okay? We're going to kind of customize the broadcasts to sure to still spotlight, like we're spotlighting everybody here to talk about, but in the process, customize it so they understand the path, okay? A lot of individuals, especially from underserved areas, getting their dream derailed before it ever comes, before they ever get the foul. And so many kids, even if it's collateral damage, they succumb to gun violence. We're going to be working with schools that are going to be referring us, to kids, to students who aspire to succeed. And this is what the Spark in the Dream program is all about. And so, it's a big deal. And I'll tell you, the reason for this broadcast is simple. We're creating everything right now, and Jeff's going to be doing a number of a Spark in the Dream programs with the students. And fact of the matter is that we want to engage you guys, bring us on as guests, see what it's all about. Maybe you guys will want to host a show or two in at your business. We do the shows at the station, but also at the place of business, and to really get the opportunity to make a difference in lives that normally, this is such a unique situation that normally would never get to sit in and kind of communicate back and forth and really get to meet a role model and say, I want to be like him and her. And at the same time, let me just say one thing. We're going to have professionals of all walks of life, of all religions, of all colors, creeds. We want these kids to see people who look like them also to know that, everything is possible. And so that's what it's about. And I hope that when Jeff gives you guys a call and we do these shows, that you'll, take us up on the invitation and to participate in the show. We have a nonprofit, Advocacy United, that is a big part of what we're doing. This is not a heavy lift in what we're doing. And it's not, that's not what we're talking about now. What we're talking about now is when we do the shows, it would be fantastic if you'll participate with Jeff and myself. We'll air on WWDB Talk 860. We'll be a podcast, a video. It'll get a lot of promotion. And, I'll be proud to have every one of you on a broadcast and making a difference in these lives. So, Jeff, anything to add?
Joe, I want to thank you for choosing me and getting me a part of this. To Michael, Drew, and Aaron, thank you for taking your time out today. Really, really appreciate each and every one of you. I consider each of you friends, and thank you for being a part of this. And in the future, hopefully continuing the work that we've started here.
Absolutely. And I want to go around the horn. Mike, first of all, Mike, and I would like to ask you this. I'd like the contact information at your place of business, number one, for listeners seeking your services, but also like your comments on what we're doing on the initiative.
I think the initiative is great what you're doing. I love the name Spark. We talked about this the other day. You have to be a spark to people, get them started. I've been coaching for the last 20 years and helping kids at risk in lower areas of income. And I've benefited by seeing people rise up, and it doesn't take a lot. And if we just all dedicate a little bit of time to helping others, we truly can change the world. And I know that sounds kind of cliche, but you know, I have three kids, and I told you so on our call the other day, you know, my kids, they got the Willy Wonka golden ticket as me being the parent because I provide for them. And I tell them every day, you could go 6 miles away from where we live right now and be in poverty. Kids that wake up and are not trying to think about their retirement, they're thinking how to survive. And I think this is a great initiative. I'm super pumped to be a part of it. You can reach me. Best way is mdolan@stockinrea.com or my cell phone 610-529-2079.
Mike Dolan, thank you so much. Drew Malik.
Thank you, Joe. Again, Jeff, thank you for being here. You know, I think the overarching theme is, and if it wasn't clear, the message I was trying to send, and I think it's the message, Joe, that you're trying to send, is there's a big difference between telling someone, telling a child how to live a life of high integrity, of high character, compared to actually showing them. And you know, I had the benefit of parents, family members who showed me the way. And I was able to follow that example to the best that I could, at least. And I believe that's exactly what you're doing with the Sparking the Dream initiative. It's showing young people who may otherwise not have the opportunity to have someone show them the way. And I think it's tremendous. And thank you again for having me on. It was great talking with all of you. And I'll see you all soon.
Absolutely. Aaron, and I appreciate the kind words, Drew. And it's great, really great to have you. It's such a great way to reconnect. Aaron Allmiller?
Yeah. Sure. So my office is at 1763 Marlton Pike East in Cherry Hill, Suite 300. It's on Route 70, another way to say it. And you can Google online. There's not a lot of Allmillers out there. A.U. Miller, one word. What everybody's saying resonates with me. There's a concept called in Judaism called tikkun olam, which is essentially to repair the world and make it a little better place. So what's interesting is Jeff was mentioning JRA, my brother-in-law, cousin-in-law, Stephen Miller, who's actually an attorney at Cozen O'Connor. He actually helped bring a South Jersey JRA branch, and his son and my son are heavily involved in the JRA. And it's just another way. In fact, I saw it pop up on my calendar. This weekend we're delivering food, doing the box food. Awesome. And it's exactly right. You showing your kids how and doing the deliveries. And there's nothing quite like, you know, delivering, you know, boxes of food to underprivileged people. And we bring the kids and have them actually, you know, say JRA delivers and things like that. And it really does. You're not just giving back to the world. And that's a great thing. And if you want to think it a little more selfishly, you could think it, you're setting a good example for your kids to be good people, to understand their obligation to the world.
I appreciate
thanks again
that.
For having us.
Awesome, Aaron. Listen, guys, I want to thank you all for joining us on Legal Talk with Jeff Nierenberg, the Sparking the Dream Initiative broadcast. We want to thank WWDB Talk 860 also for making it happen. And of course, we appreciate all of our listeners for tuning in. On behalf of Mike Dolan, Drew Malik, Aaron Allmiller, and our host, Jeff Nierenberg, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.